Okay. Hello. Welcome to the May 19th special meeting of the City Council. This is a pre-meeting for our Cayucos JPA meeting, which will begin at 7 tonight. And this is the first time we've done this. We're going to be going over our agenda in advance so that we're a little bit more up on what we'll be talking about later. But let's open the meeting with a Pledge of Allegiance.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, for the pre-meeting, what we'll do is just kind of go through the same agenda that we'll have later on, and we'll be able to get some information from Bruce ahead of time, ask questions, and go through. So, consent calendar. Does anyone have any questions on any items on the consent calendar? Was that a nod, Betty? No? Okay. Melody? Yeah, okay. All right. All right. Then we have the auditor's report, which I expect might be a good idea to go through. And who's going to take us through this? Jim's not here. Do you want to just go with questions, whatever any of us want to ask about?
The auditor's report. The auditor's not present. I'm not sure whether they plan on being present later on or not. Okay. I know the city's finance director is not going to be here tonight.
Okay.
So, what questions there are about it in that regard, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And as long as I'm up here, the second item is an item that the finance director did create, and it suggests extending the existing audit contract with the present auditor for 3 more years. Mm-hmm. And I, at this point, I'm not sure what the district's point of view is on it. There was some controversy about the auditor earlier. We've had controversy about the previous auditor, right. So we're having difficulty contracting, frankly, and so we're hopeful that the contract would be extended.
Okay. All right. Discussion on the audit report. Anybody have comments or questions on that that perhaps Bruce can help us with?
I think my mic's on. Okay. I would just say that at the last JPA meeting, I didn't have any questions about the audit, and it seems that Bob doesn't as well, but one of the members of the JPA said, you know, I'm going to have some questions about this, and he wanted the auditor. Is that true? And so there's nothing in it that looks, I've looked at it, it looks fine to me, but I don't know why there was this, they brought this up.
Bruce, do you have any inkling on that? Have they talked to you about it at all?
No, I really don't. I think that the auditor is supposed to be present. That's what Jim and the finance director has indicated. So I think he can answer the questions at the meeting. I know there have been past concerns with some of the other audits, but that's not my area of comment
Bruce,
on that
you sure
up front.
Can.
Over the past week, there have been several changes to the agenda that were suggested. First of all, I had put the wrong day on. It was Wednesday, May 19th. And in the process of changing that, we had added language that says discussion, review, and consideration to adopt the revised draft time schedule. On Monday, the district requested that we add some language to item B2 so that the contract could actually be extended. You could take action on it. I wasn't here on Monday, and they had difficulty finding the agenda, the electronic version. So when it came back out, they used an earlier agenda, and the posted agendas do not contain the language consideration to adopt in the revised time schedule. It says review, discussion and review, so I don't know what the legality of whether you can take action in adopting that time schedule tonight or not, or whether you have to bring it back to the next meeting or separate meetings, but just up front so everybody knows that there was a change in the language inadvertently on that.
And I did ask Mr. Hendricks about that. And Bob, you want to weigh in on this? Why don't you just take that microphone and sit down with it? Make yourself comfortable.
On this one, there's no doubt that the agenda is deficient technically. But the question would be, I think, what action you're taking and whether or not there's a serious defect legally from the standpoint of the action that you're taking. And if you were adopting an ordinance or something, I think that would be clearly a problem. But the fact that you're directing staff to take action and move forward a step and all the steps up to adoption, assuming there was consensus, and then list the items on your respective individual agendas and adopt it that way. So there's a lot of technical ways to catch up with it as long as you agreed. I think this will not be a problem unless there's some kind of essential disagreement among the bodies as to how to proceed.
Well, and the thing that got me, too, is that we're adopting a revised draft time schedule. So it's not like anything that's set in concrete right now. So it's, how's the council feel? Are you comfortable with that, or would you rather have it come back for adoption later?
I have no problem with doing it this way.
Okay, Melody?
I have no problem. I'd be surprised if we got to adoption tonight. I'd be pleased, but I have no problem.
Okay, Patty.
As long as I think the public needs to know about this, and that would be my concern. So maybe it's something we need to announce at the head of the meeting so they can be aware that we'll be talking about it later.
Okay. Dad?
I'm okay.
Okay.
Madam Mayor, just one more comment. I would technically, the remedy for this, if you were to do it and it were wrong, would be to do it over. So you would, the result would be that because it was improperly noticed, it would come before you at a future meeting and you would adopt it again.
Okay.
So that's just so everybody's aware of what the issue would be.
All right. All right. So questions on that issue? Anything that we want to get resolved before we get to our joint meeting? Melody?
About the timeline?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think there's plenty to resolve or to talk about. In fact, I think this is probably the heart of it. This notion about going to tertiary treatment, which the Corallo engineers have included in this, and of water reclamation or tertiary treatment, those kinds of things. And one of the things that we might start with is the difference between Mr. Keogh's interpretation of the fiscal impact and Cayugas, which drives it up to like this $32 million. The higher figure adds tertiary treatment establishment of water recycled water program. And when I looked through the schedule today, I didn't even see the tertiary or recycled water thing noted in the schedule. But then when I looked at the cost report, I do see it there, and I don't see it nearly as high as what Cayucas is predicting. So,
okay, what Cayucas document are you referring to?
This one that came in today.
Well, I didn't get that one.
It was in our mailboxes or something this morning.
After noon today, did it get to the mailbox? I didn't get one.
I have a copy if you'd like an additional copy.
Thank you. Okay, we'll have to share. We can get one of them. Okay.
So I was just wondering, because they go up to this $32 million price, and that doesn't look like what Corolla says.
Well, I think the differentiation in prices is that the memo that you're referring to that the district wrote was commenting on the original February 18, 2005 timeline, the 15-year timeline, that outline going to full secondary or an aggressive recycle program. And the $16.8 million figure that is in the letter report that we just received from Corallo. So I think that the idea was to bring back maybe a more reasonable price range to establish a tertiary program and say, hey, we have tertiary treatment at the plant. When you first put it in, I think that water would be actually discharged into the ocean. And eventually, if you wanted to establish that recycle program to parks or landscaping or something like that, that you would have the tertiary treatment component there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I've always understood that the reclamation has all those pipes and increases the cost. So, in other words, if we can just inform Cayucas that we can go to tertiary for $1.2 million on that 0.4 MGD or something, I think it was. It's not a whole lot of water, but it's some that we could be putting through tertiary treatment fairly easily, and I think inexpensively take it on the whole.
Would that not all fall on us, though, because Cayucas is not going to get the use of that?
Well, I think that's part of the initial coordination that the district and the city are going to have to come to grips with and decide what programs each community wants to develop. And part of what I did for this meeting was to actually look at the general plan and for the city of Morro Bay and the water management plan status report that was adopted in 2002, I believe, that actually lists reclamation as a priority of this city. Actually, it's the number two priority in the water management plans. And I have something from Destination 2000, which also establishes, it says, maintain sewer plant and implement water reclamation at state-of-the-art optimum standards. So the city, that's one of the things I tried to point out in the staff report, is that the city does have... That's correct.
Okay, so the use of only comes in with the reclamation and adding mm-hmm. the pipes, which can be down the road.
Right, but what I'm saying is I don't know if we're going to persuade Cayucas to help pay for that or if that's all going to be on our dime. That's my concern.
To pay for the tertiary?
Yeah. May I just insert here, my concern isn't so much of the cost of the tertiary or the secondary versus each other. It's more about what kind of grant money we can get, if any. If we have a plant that's going to cost $16 million, but we can get a grant, you know, for 15, then it's only paying $1 million. But if you can get a secondary for $4 million, we get no grants, then we're paying more. So to me, it's more about what kind of money can we get and what kind of a time schedule. And I don't know when that kind of research gets done.
I'm guessing that some of that's going to happen during the facilities plan. And once a time schedule is adopted, I think that you're not going to wait until, quote, the time schedule says start looking at finances. I think that we would probably be start looking at any available funding to try and at least get a better idea of what's out there. And we did a little bit of research into the Prop 50 Chapter 8 money, which is a regional-wide program, and it doesn't appear that that money is available to us right now because we're not far enough into the process. We really need to be at almost a design phase with some sort of environmental document to actually apply for the grant. But we have spoken with county staff that, and kind of put the bug in their ear that, you know, this project is going to be on, some sort of project is ongoing, and that we will be looking for money down the road.
So, So our question tonight is going to be whether
facilities, and maybe add another secondary clarifier. The tertiary component actually involves a little bit different design concept and maybe and putting in Melody's familiar with the xenon process, but some sort of little more advanced technology that's available right now. But you kind of need to establish that priority on the front end so that when the engineers go to design it, they know what they're going to do. And my understanding from the consultant is that the footprint, the actual construction footprint, will vary depending on what technology you use. And I think it's important that we realize that potentially we are space limited. I have an overhead of the lease sites around the treatment plant that is jointly owned property, one of which is part of the trailer park to the west and the concrete batch plant to the east, but you know those are revenue generating sources for both the city and the district, so I don't know if you'd want to necessarily move on to those properties. But those leases are due in, I think, sometime in 07 and 08, long-term leases for both of those facilities, so that's another factor that you'll have to weigh in on.
There's actually a discussion of the leases on tonight's agenda, I believe, too, Bruce.
Yeah, there is.
This looks like I've been sitting here, but I actually did a lot of research while you were discussing this, and I found my copy of this letter, this April 5th letter, found it arrived in the City Hall office on April 7th, and according to my copy of it, what happened to this was it was distributed to the Reed file, not to your...
Question. That's why I asked. I mean, if indeed Morro Bay wants to commit to the extra money, I suppose Cayucas wouldn't really have a whole lot to say if we're bearing the whole cost, correct?
Well, and
location.
Right, but there's still...
If Cayucas insists on staying secondary, then would that push us out to Chorro Valley? Would they have to buy us out?
Well, I think that's one of those initial consideration questions that you really, you know, that there's going to be some very difficult decision-making process through this whole initial coordination. And one of them has to do with the JPA agreement itself. And the JPA agreement is very clear on certain protocols that you're going to have to follow. And I believe if the city were to pursue tertiary treatment at the existing facility, they might have to pay the additional expense to do that. They would also need to get, I believe, Cayuga Sanitary District approval to site a city-owned component on jointly owned property. And I would assume that that's, you know, maybe at the meeting tonight some of those questions can be asked and maybe some initial answers or comments can be.
Okay, so it looks as if what we need to do is determine ourselves whether we want to go to tertiary or secondary so that we're at least ready for that discussion. Yes, Bill?
As Betty mentioned, the Chorro Valley, that was not practical last time we looked at it. Is it any more practical now?
You know, I think if into that whole CEQA process and an 8.5-year time frame may not be realistic for that. I'm not an expert in any of that area, but I do know I read the two Boyle studies that were performed, and the SEC phase two identified numerous agencies that would have to be dealt with. So, you know, I've always, another alternative, if you want to go to the Chorro Valley, in my mind is instead of building a pipeline to carry raw sewage over the hill, you could always put in a pipeline that carries reclamated water over the hill, and if it starts in my mind to maybe open up more avenues for people to tap into that pipeline later on. So I think there's more than one way to go there. The question is how much water do you really need to put in the Chorro Valley to do the environmental enhancement and whatnot?
Madam Mayor, can I elaborate a little bit? Mm-hmm. In terms of the discussion that you're having tonight jointly with Cayucas, the issue that you would be considering around tertiary treatment would not be whether or not to do it. It would be simply whether or not to gather information about that alternative or set of alternatives, whether you would consider those and gather data around them, or whether you bound the project from a planning standpoint to just tasks that are associated with placing equipment on the plant site for tertiary treatment. Is that right, Bruce? Is that a fair description?
Yeah, I think so.
So even if you have a discussion and you disagree with them, you're really not hammering away at the policy decision of whether or not the city wants to go to tertiary. It's the issue would be around whether or not you want to explore and gather data around that alternative at this point. That's really where we are.
Realistic.
So how does council feel about that? I mean, is this something we want to pursue, in which case let's have an absolute suggestion to give tonight? Yes, we want to pursue this. We'd like to look at those options. Or we're fine with secondary if you are. What's council's view on that?
Well, my view is if it's not too onerous, I would like to pursue tertiary with the idea of doing some sort of reclamation and probably your second option of running the treated effluent into there rather than building a plant out there looks good because, as you say, you could then tap into it for irrigation purposes for some of the agricultural users. And we were told several years ago by the Coastal Commission, if nothing else, that we ought to look at it. We did. It wasn't practical. But I'm going to assume that if there's going to be any money out there from a federal or agency standpoint, reclamation is going to have a better chance than just rebuilding our sewer plant. So I think we ought to look at it, and I think sooner or later, whether we're all alive or not, but sooner or later we're going to have to go to tertiary anyway. We might as well at least get the jump on it.
Melody?
I'd agree completely with Bill, and also I'd like to just say I hope everyone got through Rob's memo about the JPA agreement, mm-hmm. the actual agreement that was signed back in 82 or so. And that you read Mr. Keogh's memo where he talks about taking advantage of history, which I think is an allusion to something. But as I read Rob's, it looks like we're kind of in the driver's seat here, and we ought to act as if we're in the driver's seat, in that it says here that according to the JPA, Cayucas owns 40%, we own 60%, but then I think it's crazy making to me that we can't tell them what we want, and that's the way it's going to be, because it's in Morro Bay. We own the greater majority of it, and I think tertiary is coming down the pike as the new standard. It's coming at us, and we might as well go that way, and it fits with reclamation sometime in the future.
Okay, Betty?
I would agree. It's going to take 10 years to get there. By then, all the laws will be different. Technology will be different. If we plan now, maybe in 10 years we'll be where we wanted to have been now. So it only makes sense to be forward-looking. And I don't think I need to add anything. Except to ask the question, what is, and it was a word that you used, practical. What does practical mean? Does that mean in terms of money or time or...
As I remember, and not being the expert here, it was not practical because it was cost prohibitive, was the biggest thing. I mean, to take that on by ourselves at the time was onerous. But again, we didn't go out and start looking for grant funding anywhere either. And, you know, if you have a, I'm sure you have a, and I could, with absolutely no authority behind what I'm saying, I'm sure that if you're going to get grant money, reclamation and not dumping it out into the ocean is by far an easier task than trying to get grant money to dump clean water out into the ocean. It's still not going to happen.
Dad?
Yeah, we need to do two things. One, we need to get the information about what it's going to take to go to tertiary for our own benefit. Mm-hmm. The other thing is we need to have a backup plan. In other words, if we can't, I'll use the word force, Cayucas to agree to a tertiary development, and they only want to go to secondary.
To me, without their participation, but it is a capital project. So then we get into where the negotiation has to come with Cayucas as to what their share of that would be with or without the additional monies for the tertiary. So that's going to be the sticking point, I would imagine.
And unfortunately, they're going to say they want to pay only 25% of the secondary cost and none of the tertiary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to sit well with us, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I would guess the whole reason they're not in favor of the tertiary is because of the cost. Mm-hmm. So if we can show to them through research that it will in reality cost us less, assuming we got grants, then maybe they would be willing to listen to that.
That's possible. I had the impression that the other reason they weren't interested in tertiary is that they would not have any direct use for the reclaimed water. We do. Mm-hmm. Potentially somewhere down the line, maybe they could. I don't know. Would that mean another pipeline or something to get back to them with it? Or what would their potential use for that tertiary treatment water be? Or is there any?
Well, I think another issue there is that the district's primary responsibility is wastewater and solid waste management. And the Cayucas community has three or four water purveyors, and they're not the sanitary district's not in the business of mm-hmm. water distribution, whereas the city is, and I think that's a key point. And I don't know that they have a big use for that water. I mean, I think that was one of the things that came out in the Corolla study is that maybe there wasn't a big use for water in Cayucas from the reclaim side. I can give you a little history on the flow versus ownership in terms of the plant. There's numerous bills, but the sanitary district only had 20 to 25% of the total flow through the plant, and so they felt that before the JPA agreement that they were paying more than their fair share of the treatment costs. And out of all those discussions came the JPA agreement that exists today, and I think that's one of the things that, you know, if you... One of the suggestions in the report as well is that you don't... Right now we have 2.06 million gallons of capacity for dry weather flow. Population projections over the long term indicate that we probably don't need that much capacity. So if we're going to upgrade the plant and provide full secondary treatment, do we need to have it for the full 2 million, or do you do it for the population projections that you have for the next 20 to 30 years? I believe that after the engineers at Corolla looked at it, they said, hey, you could probably come back and only have a 1.5 million million gallon a day plant, and that would be adequate for the populations that you need to serve, and that helps hold the cost down. But those agreed to capacity rights would have to be revisited in the JPA agreement as well, because you might just say, oh, well, we're still going to just split it 65-35, Or one community might say, hey, I want 70% and you only need 30%. I think all those things are negotiable, but they're going to need to be addressed in that initial consideration period.
Question?
Yeah.
If in this consideration, Cayucas does not have use because they're not a water purveyor of the reclaimed water, but couldn't we, as a joint powers authority, if in fact we decide to do the reclamation out in the Chorro Valley, couldn't we?
Mr. Stringfield from Corolla Engineers might be better able to answer the question of whether there's actually a money market for reclaimed water, or whether the real benefit that you're getting out of this reclamation process is that you're offsetting your potable water use, so that your potable water use goes farther in the future. But I'm not certain how other communities do that, and whether they're actually selling it by the 100-gallon, 1,000-gallon, 100,000-gallon range, whether that's actual reality or wishful thinking.
Bruce, wouldn't you start with the basis of the, if you've got some reclaimed water at the plant, say you have a gallon of water that's reclaimed at the plant, it's really worth zero, and its value increases as you move it up a pipe or through a pump or something to some other location. The cost of getting it from the plant to where you're going to use it makes the water more expensive, and therefore it has a value at the other end of whatever that is. But it's really the cost of transporting the water from where you have it to where you need it that represents the cost of the reclaimed water. So the further away you go, the more expensive it gets, I guess is the way it
would
be.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that's why the original estimate came back at $32 million in the original time schedule, because that laid out a very aggressive recycle program. And if you look at Los Osos, the cost of that total project appears to be, the plant is fairly inexpensive in that project. I mean, it's still a lot of money, but I think that the sewer system and the installation of the pipe in the ground represents the lion's share of that expense. And I don't think it matters whether you're putting sewer line in or purple pipe or whatever. I think pipe's very expensive to put in the ground.
Melody?
Yeah. 9.5 years. At 9.5 years, we don't want to be behind the ball on what technology is required at that point, 10 years from now. So what I'm wondering, Bruce, is any information you could give us as to tertiary as a regulation or tertiary as being used by coastal wastewater plants, or even if Mr. Stringfield knows that. But could somebody give us an idea about how likely it is that tertiary is going to be the thing of the future? And
you know, I think I'd have to defer that question to Mr. Stringfield, because I think Corolla is a lot more involved in just water reclamation projects throughout the state of California.
I don't know of anybody putting tertiary treatment out into the ocean right now, certainly right now, or even planning on doing that for the sole purpose of putting a better quality water in the ocean. I think secondary treatment is where it is now and probably will stay there. The newest stuff that we're talking about in the last 5 years on wastewater are the pesticides, the hormones, the endocrine disruptors, things like that we're just starting to study and test and find out what their effects are, and their effects are not good in freshwater streams. Now, I don't think that that's an issue in a saltwater environment, but you know that's way down the road. But I would say that on inland discharges, they're all going to tertiary treatment, and partially driven because of these. Now, they say, if I look down the road, what kind of treatment might be best position me? And it's this xenon. It's a membrane bioreactor. Xenon's a trade name that does a better job of those pharmaceuticals. And so, you know, that's kind of the way the industry's going. Is if you're teetering and you want to be conservative, you put in that membrane bioreactor, you know, to look forward. And if you're, especially if you think you might have a tertiary use or an agricultural use, or even just a use to run a cemetery, a park, or something like that, getting all those pharmaceuticals and stuff out, you know, just it makes a lot of sense. And so that was a long-winded answer, but no, I don't see anybody looking at tertiary for the purposes of ocean discharge. No.
Follow-up question, if I may.
Okay.
How about 10 years from now? We've got to plan 10 years out. So, is it likely that everybody's still going to say, "Sure, dump it in the ocean"?
My crystal ball would say that every month I get about three or four different technical magazines that I consider good on the subject, and they're all about three or four articles on these pharmaceuticals, endocrine disruptors, hormones, all that. And I see the technology, or I see the research, it's really just research, that it's going to be 5 or 6 years before we're removing a heck of a lot of them, but, you know, a little bit can be damaging. So based on where I see the research is, I'm guessing for ocean discharge, I would have to say minimum of 20 years away, just because of the, in your case in particular, that the tremendous dilution you have, and you know what, that salt water environment, these things just can't survive out there. I mean, whereas in a freshwater environment, you know, they survive, you know, a little easier. So I'd say we're 20 plus years away from somebody forcing tertiary for an ocean discharge. I really would.
Melody, did you have a follow-up? Thad, did you have something?
Well, I just listened to what he said, and if we're talking 20 plus years away from being perhaps forced to do that, then maybe the best position for us to take now is to do the secondary as quickly as we can and then see what happens.
But won't our plant have to last past that 20 years? I mean, we want a plant that lasts 30 or 40 years. So we're going to have to make it through that cycle, transition.
But we may run out of space, in which case we have to do something different.
Well,
in a different
technology
place.
By then could be so different than it is now that you may not need that much space to do whatever you need to make it.
From a city perspective, it may be a more sensitive topic on the freshwater side rather than on the wastewater treatment side, because we have a limited freshwater resource, and I don't know what the sensitive variable about what direction we should go in the future. In other words, if we end up in a position where, from a water use standpoint, we need to put reclaimed water on our fields and our parks and the golf course up on the hill and so on and so forth, that might be more direct impact on the issue than the ultimate design criteria for the plan and what its performance needs to be for just ocean discharge.
Bruce, did you have a comment?
Yeah, and I think I'd concur with Bob, and I didn't get a chance to look at the state water contract, but I spoke with Mr. Boucher today, and it discusses best management practices, and there may be at some point in the future where they say, hey, if you're going to take state water, they're really going to encourage you to have some sort of reclamation project, definitely conservation projects. And then the last one is that the city has established policy that lists water reclamation as a very high priority. And I don't know how that factors in when you go to do like the environmental documentation and whatnot, whether our feet are held to the fire on something like that. But the city has established those priorities, and I guess either we try and achieve those priorities or we change our priorities, one of the two. So, and the amount of money that you're looking at up front is about $1.2 million. And, you know, if there is grant funding available, and as Councilmember Winholtz pointed out, you know, if you can get $5 million knocked off because we can get grant funding, maybe the tertiary option looks better. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's going to have to come. I think they're going to try and get that sooner than later. I think a little patience on everybody's side is going to pay off, because you'll have more time to make an informed decision. So
Well, the first letter of their, I mean, the first paragraph in their letter is pretty much stating what they think about tertiary treatment. No. They want to take out any reference to it. So if indeed that's where we want to go, we have got to be very persuasive that, you know, this is something that we understand down the line, given all the figures and the information when we get it, that we're probably going to have to pay for it ourselves if they are not interested in it and not going to have any use for it. So I think that if indeed we did approach it that way, they probably would be more amenable to leaving that wording in there.
And that would be that $1.2 million difference.
Right.
I would just like to say a couple of quick things. One, even though Mr. Springfield would like to say that it only impacts freshwater fish because of the great dilution of the ocean, I think the great dilution of the ocean will only work for us for just a number of more decades. We've been working on that assumption for at least a century now, throwing everything into the ocean. I really like that tertiary takes care of pharmaceuticals and hormones and endocrine disruptors, and I don't like putting it out into those fishing grounds. Whether or not he says the saltwater takes care of it, and I would prefer to see the studies that would prove that we're not harming that those fishing grounds. Secondly, in our talks tonight, I think we really do need to stay focused on the needs of Morro Bay, because that's what we were elected to do. And this tertiary water, ultimately reclamation, does anyone know if it takes the reclamation to get the grant funding, or is it the tertiary only that'll get it?
I at this point, I don't know. I don't think we've done enough research.
Okay, but I think I'd really still stick with tertiary as the long-visioned one.
Yes, Mr. Strickland.
Is this working? Okay, I think I can answer that. You know, we've looked, Corolla Engineers looked at the Prop 50 money a lot, and it's very clear in Prop 50 money, the projects that are going to get the money are going to be projects that, once they're built, takes the water out of the ocean and replaces a freshwater supply. So if you did a reuse project that irrigated the Highway 1 median that's not irrigated right now, you might not get it because it doesn't replace any water. Mm-hmm. But if you put it on the cloisters, you put it on the high school, you put it on the cemetery, you put it on the golf course, you've now replaced a freshwater supply. You'd have that's the kind of project they're looking for. So I would say that the construction of the tertiary facility at the treatment plant with nothing hooked onto it, it's probably has little chance of getting any grants that I know of out there right now today.
But that's a number of years down the road when we're starting into the financial phase of this project.
Right.
And we could actually kind of invent.
So we know what our options are, what's available.
Well, that's true. I mean, if indeed tertiary is where we want to go, then mm-hmm. those are the plans that we're going to pursue and everything else. So we'll have those figures come in the course of events. And that's where we go. But again, that's just something we need to know. If that's what we want to do, then that's what we have to present to Cayugas tonight and say we'll do it on our own.
Madam Mayor, okay. When you think about it, with the placement of the location of the existing treatment plant and with the proximity to the high school and the various parks with Del Mar and the cloisters and so forth, there is actually some use for that water now. Obviously, putting pipes in would be expensive, but we don't have to run them that far to at least use some of that water. So, because there's the high school, I'm sure, uses an awful lot of water just in itself.
Okay, so, Council, are we pretty much agreed we want to go for full tertiary? All right, and are we agreed that we would tell Cayucas that we'll bear the cost of that, if that's an issue, which obviously it is?
Well, we would hope that they would want to hear some information, that they want to hear the research on it, that they aren't willing to say no right now, but that they could postpone that no until we get in some information. that they could respond to.
Which would also help us to make the final decision. Now, does that slow the process down? We're just going to collect on information on both ways to go then? Is that okay? Or does that double the problem?
I think the bigger picture is that ultimately you have to agree to a timeline. Mm-hmm. And it's probably late 2005, December 2005 or October 2005, depending on how that process works. It gives you an additional 6 months to do some of that initial coordination. But ultimately, I think you can make some of these decisions and do some of the research as you go. But you have to be comfortable with the fact that the council and the district board can come to terms with what you're talking about. Because if halfway through this, if you adopt the timeline and halfway through the coordination period you come to an impasse, mm-hmm. every month that impasse continues, you're losing valuable time in your timeline. And that's part of what I think the generic discussion is tonight is are you comfortable with, I think the key tasks are tasks 1 and 2. I think the financing, the environmental, and the design and construction, once you get into them, they're very involved, they're very detailed, they require lots of time and energy, but you're already going to have some consensus on what you're building and where you're going. Tasks 1 and 2 are going to define where you're going, and you have to bring both parties to the plate and say, hey, are you both comfortable going in that direction? And that's part of what the difficulty in agreeing to the time schedule, I think, is that if you don't make the dates listed in there, there are going to be monetary penalties. And if you don't get to the final milestone, the Goleta Sanitary District's permit carries pretty severe monetary penalties. I believe it's $1,000 a day if they don't meet full secondary in 8.5 years. And I think Regional Board is going to put some teeth into fashion, I should say. So that's one of the concerns that we had when we got into the 8.5 year time schedule is that can you do all what you're talking about and get some sort of agreement hammered out with the district and have a general consensus of where you're going? The facilities plan is going to help because it's going to give you specific prices and details, but you have to get through that first initial coordination period, and it's a comfort level.
I think Melody leaned forward first, then Betty.
Okay. I'm looking at the report from Carollo, and it says in the schedule and consultant selection that we have to adopt a timeline for presentation to the Water Board by June 9th this year.
I believe if you want to stay on probably a permit approval by December of 2005, that we are going to have to submit something to the Regional Board fairly quickly.
Betty.
And then my questions, would they look more favorably in terms of giving us more time if they know we're going to go tertiary rather than secondary? Or do they not care? And then I have a second question.
I think that Regional Board is concerned that they don't want to see us drag our feet. And I think if we're doing due diligence and they recognize that we're making an earnest commitment to do this, that they're probably going to be more sympathetic to the cause. I think they deal with hundreds of agencies that say, oh, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and they get tired of it. And there's a community just to the south of us that's had some of those problems. So I think we need to somehow be able to convince them that we are truly
along with us.
I think the county took its shot a year or two ago when it tried to form a CS county service area up there and consolidate the water districts, and the voters didn't go along. So I think it would be tough. The district is an independent district, very right. tough for the county to do anything legally with them. I wanted to elaborate a little bit on what Bruce was saying, though, and mention to you that first part of the plan where you're making these preliminary decisions is based on a number of meetings. And I think the timeline in there has a compressed meeting schedule, doesn't it, Bruce? And we're assuming in there, this is something you need to be aware of, that we're assuming a certain number of meetings is required, and we've collapsed that number of meetings down into a limited time in order to meet, to contract the overall time schedule. But what it would mean is monthly meetings with Cayucas on this issue. Is that right?
Yeah, my staff report recommends monthly, and I believe the Corella report recommends bi-monthly, but I, or excuse me, once every 2 months on the district.
My report says no, don't stretch them out any more than once every 2 months. Monthly, to me, monthly in the beginning of the right?
And so I think there's it implies that the council and the district are going to have to roll up their sleeves and really wade into this process, and we can't afford to say, oh, we're not going to meet this month because there's a holiday, or you know, we have some other issues. That if it goes quicker than slower, then you can start to back the time schedule down, or you could also
if they take 6 months to get to it or something, all of those things that could happen down at that end, set our own goals to be even faster. And then if we finish a year ahead of time, great. Not a problem. But give ourselves that safety so that we don't run into a big financial obligation because we haven't been able to make a shorter schedule, which I know some people are going to be suggesting tonight. So I think it's something that, while I respect the idea behind it, we need to protect ourselves down at the end, too.
Well, I'd agree with you on that, particularly since now I've been informed of the kind of fines we would suffer for not meeting milestones,
right,
particularly. And I always say that every good schedule has a certain fudge factor to it. So I was wondering about this concluding paragraph on your staff report here, Bruce. Prior to adoption, we need to resolve critical issues, that last conclusion there, where I'm just wondering if we as a council have addressed enough of these, like complexity of the project, I take it that means the tertiary or not, or and then policy fundamentals. Are we addressing these things here?
Yeah, and you know, we could run through them real quick. Complexity of the project, there's a lot of comment that, oh, you're just going to full secondary treatment. And the assumption is that you can do the environmental in 8 months, or you could, you know, we can compress the schedule way down. And I think what you're looking at, even at going to full secondary, there's a lot of subtasks that need to be accomplished, and they need to be accomplished in a timely manner, but some of them can't happen before other ones have occurred. You have to make a decision on what you want before you go do the financial and the environmental. The policy fundamentals, you have an upgrade price of approximately $5 million. A little more if you go to full tertiary. You have a rehabilitation cost of approximately $5 million, and then you have a biosolids issue that's lingering out there that's another estimated $5 million. Each of those could be paid for in a different manner. You could do the upgrade on a capital cost, you could do the rehabilitation on a flow-based cost, or you could do it on an ownership cost, depending on which accounting system you're using and what agreement you're basing those decisions on. So those are real issues, and I think when you get into the money issues, as you know very well, they're very difficult decisions, and people, you know, if you can get out from paying a little bit of money here or there, everybody's going to opt towards that. You know, if you can pick up an extra 10%, I'm sure that the district will be happy to let you do that. But, you know, you need to be aware of that. The public participation process is that, you know, we haven't had a lot of local public participation. We haven't had, and I don't know how all that wraps into this process. My understanding is it wraps in the environmental, probably a little bit in the facilities plan, maybe in the coordination. The JPA decision-making process goes back to the document and some of the issues we've talked about, capacity rights, costs, how you're going to operate and maintain the facility in the future. For instance, if the city builds a tertiary facility separately from the district, how are those costs differentiated when it comes time to pay the power bill or the biosolids costs or issues like that? Unforeseen circumstances, you know, that's the fudge factor. We could probably get away with less severe penalties because the Goleta settlement agreement came out of litigation with regional board. My guess is that you're going to be looking at least $100 a day for not making those milestones, and that there's going to be a severe penalty at the end. I don't think regional board, once you agree to this time schedule and you submit it to them, they're going to hold your feet to the fire, and they're going to make it so that if you don't finish in a timely fashion, they have a way to make you do that. So, and I think, so a lot of the issues we have talked about, and some of them don't need to be resolved before you actually adopt the time schedule, but I think you need to be aware of them. You need to know that they're going to be difficult. Some potentially there's difficulty in resolving those issues, and you have to have a level of comfort that we as staff can work through those problems and bring them back to the boards to resolve them. And some of them, we're going to bring you issues that you're going to have to debate with the sanitary district and come to agreement on.
And those are going to be difficult discussions. I guess my concern is, should that be the first thing we do, is determine the difference between flow and ownership and how we're going to work this so that that's decided up front? Because I can see that being the most difficult thing we have to get through. It has been previously. Is that something, can you start the schedule with that?
Well, I think that's a $64 million question. It, you know, we're in a very unique circumstance, I think, that part of what's driving this upgrade is the permit. And the board is very anxious to see some sort of timeline be submitted to them. So the cart is, in essence, in front of the horse, and you're going to have to make a leap of faith at some point that says, if we meet every month for 18 months, we can hammer out these issues. And that's about the best I can do.
I think it might be a real good idea if we get a subcommittee going as of tonight. I don't know if we can do that if it's not on the agenda. A subcommittee to revisit the whole agreement and how we want to go for this, whether we're going to term it a capital or a flow issue, all of those things, and see the best way to do that. Because I don't think even a meeting once a month and hashing that out with however many of us, 10 of us there are, is going to be productive. Anybody have any comments on that? Yeah.
Well, traditionally, and I don't want to put words in the other organization's mouth, but traditionally, anything that's been a major repair or any of those things, which I assume that renovation would be considered a major repair, has always been flow-based. And we've had, a number of years, like 8, 10 years of fighting that battle, and they were very adamant about it then, and yes, some of their membership has changed, but they're going to point to this agreement and say, it says right here how we're going to handle it. So I'm not sure we're going to, even with a subcommittee, we're going to sit down and say, let's talk, because if it ain't in here, as the saying goes, it ain't going to happen. But we can try. I was on a subcommittee that talked about something very similar to that, and we had one meeting that lasted about 20 minutes, and at the end for it. Because if you decide how to pay for it first, you still don't know what you're buying.
Well, and that's another point, too. If indeed we aren't going to try and change the terms and we are going to consider this a flow issue, then it does give, as who was it, Betty or Melody said at the beginning, it does give us the authority, being the major owner, to say, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be paying the lion's share of it, so you come along with what we think is right for us, since it's our money.
Well, I'm going to hang with you on that, and I'm going to suggest that on Rob's memo here, you know, he says that we could renegotiate this whole darn agreement, and I don't want to do that. But we could certainly say, you know, that's sitting there as an idea, and right now you're claiming this kind of ownership, but you're paying on this kind of flow, and, you know, do you want to have that revisited? We'd rather not. You'd rather not, so why don't we just agree on this timeline and go into tertiary and get with it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Use it as a bargaining chip?
Yes.
Dad, how do you feel on that one?
Well, we might as well try it.
Well, it's true. Financially, we are in the driver's seat. I mean, we're the ones that it's going to fall on.
But I think decision-making-wise, we're equal. I think that they'll see it that way, and that we'll, you know, 5-5. So I think if we can think of some bargaining chips, you know, that we can say, well, we're not going to push you on the flow if you, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what we need to talk about. What are our bargaining chips?
Well, the other thing, if at some point down the road they have reason to believe that we're going to be forced into tertiary anyway, then it would make sense to talk about it.
The extra. to go to tertiary. Is that what we're saying? Is that the bottom line?
Well, we could start by suggesting reopening the agreement, see where that gets us.
Well, and the idea of them having to buy us out. You know, if they don't want to go along, we want to move to Choro. Can they afford to buy us out, or do they need to work with us?
That's kind of an empty threat, though, if we're not going to go to Choro. Which seems to be financially prohibitive.
What we need to do is simply ask them the question about tertiary. Obviously, we think we know what their answer is, and probably we're right, but we need to throw it out there.
And part of their answer could be that they don't want to go for the extra cost. If the extra cost is all that bothers them and we said we're going to pay that, then it may not be an issue to them, if that's the only concern.
Well, okay, let's find their concern, yeah.
And we're going to pay them based on the fact that if we turn this tertiary into reclaimed water finally and we gain grants or funding based on that, that goes into our pool, not theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So that any kind of gain that we gather in funding because of tertiary is ours, not theirs. We'll pay for it to put it in, but then when we start to put the pipes on it and we start to get money for that.
You mean for the use of the reclaimed water?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and I think, too, that we should initially, as we're going into this project with tertiary, we can talk to people, funding sources, and the government with Proposition 50 in talking about our intention down the line.
Yeah, the letter that's in front of you really addressed the bound report that was distributed at the mm-hmm. April 6th
right.
meeting. So some of those comments are basically non-issues.
Yeah.
But there is a comment in there about the paragraph on page 8,
mm-hmm.
and that talks about the very issues you're talking about right now, which mm-hmm. is agreed to capacity rights. And I think that if you're going to reduce, if there is a reduction in capacity at the plant, you are going to have to renegotiate part. You're going to have to change part of this agreement. Now, whether you call it a renegotiation or a simple editing process where you move some numbers around. I don't have a list of issues with the agreement in front of me to say on page 1, I don't like this sentence or I don't like this concept. But that may be a position that the city wants to take too, that we go through this agreement and say, hey, this is where we would like to see change, and bring back very specific ideas, because in the past they've always been very generic. And you know, part of this flow-based versus ownership-based payment of repairs that we've done in the past that Councilman Pierce referred to had to do with the fact that part of it was real and part of it is perceived, but I think that the city has been guilty at times of not reading the agreement. And they have tried to bill the district on city policy, and the sanitary districts had a real issue with that, saying, no, this document is what we agreed to. Whether it's right or wrong, this is what we're able to changing some of it, and some of it I'm sure they're going to dig their heels in on because of their responsibility to their ratepayers. But I think that would be a good way to open the part of that discussion.
If we change the flow rate, does that... I mean, the treatment flow, the amount of water we're treating, does that, wouldn't that affect us both the same amount, or is it skewed towards one or the other of us?
Well, if you're looking at initial capacity of saying we're going to reduce it from 2.06 to 1.5, if you own 65% of 1.5 versus 65% of 2.06, your capacity rights have been diminished.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual flow to the plant hasn't changed. We're still going to treat 1,100,000 gallons every day, and it's still going to be the same 75-25%
right.
makeup. But on some of the bigger rehabilitation, renovation costs, when we were talking about paying for a $10,000 blower, you know, it really wasn't a lot of money, and so it probably wasn't a big thing. If you're talking about $1 million project, 10% of that $1 million, 35% versus 25% is $100,000. And pretty soon, you know, the ratepayers from one side or the other are going to feel the pinch on that. And I have my own feelings on whether they should be capital or flow based on some of the major renovation items. But as long as this agreement, you're operating off of the existing JPA agreement, you pretty much have to follow the guidelines that are in here. And that's one of the reasons I handed it out to you tonight, so that everyone can take a peek at it and see, you know, exactly what it says. But there has been real issues, and I think there are perceived issues when we come to our...
Well, do we have to worry about the lease agreements if we might want to use some of that property for the tertiary plant?
I believe the lease agreements in front of you are for the Corpyard lease and part of the Hanson's aggregate property that are very small, incidental pieces of property at
so
this
So they wouldn't
point.
Be affected by the tertiary?
I don't think so, and okay. I think Mr. Algert can address that a little bit this evening.
Okay.
I think the two big issues are the long-term leases that are going to come in front of you in the next 6 months to 2 years, and I know that both leasees know of potential plans to expand, and I think they would like some level of comfort that we're not just going to...
Well, if all goes well in 6 months to 2 years, we're going to know that.
I would hope so.
technical question. We have to have something into the water board by June. Is that what you said? But they're not going to rule on it till the end of the year?
What's happened right now is that regional board would like something as soon as possible. And there's a procedural process that once EPA releases the tentative decision document on whether or not they approve of granting another 301H, mm-hmm. There is a public comment period and the draft permit is released. And I don't know the exact, I went through it 5 or 6 years ago. I don't know the exact time frame, but it's about a 4 to 6 month process that mm-hmm. has to happen, similar to like adopting mm-hmm. resolutions for the council where you have to have a number of readings and whatnot. So it's going to take, from the time you get agreement on the time schedule, it's probably going to... Penalties are... I think we're going to have the ability to comment on the penalty phases inserted into the permit. And we're going to want to make sure that our legal counsel and the district's legal counsel is comfortable with whatever negotiated settlement we come up with regional board. And I think there's numerous ways to do that. It's a little premature maybe to talk about that, but you can... More than likely, you will be issued another 301H permit with a second, for the first five-year period. The second five-year period would probably be a full secondary permit with interim effluent limitations. But there is going to be this time schedule with milestones inserted into that time schedule. But there's going to have to be time for legal review and adoption by... I would imagine by both the council and the board, and then back to regional board. So mm-hmm. you still have several months that are going to, just from a political process or a bureaucratic process, have to occur.
So are all of you comfortable with the 9.5 years? Do you think we're safe there? Or are you still a little concerned about that being too short a time, given the reviews necessary? Right, yeah, well, that's something we're going to have to do. Oh. Just what we all want. End of the meeting. Okay, but are you comfortable with that being enough time?
I think that, I think that it's a realistic time schedule.
Okay.
And it's just going to take a lot of hard work in the first couple years to really iron out the problems, and it's going to take a lot of, as Bruce pointed out, a lot of commitment to get this time schedule developed. Was extremely painful because I put language in there that the district was not comfortable with, and we batted that thing back and forth and back and forth. And I think when we get into the later phases, we're not going to have that debate. It should be very clear cut what our mission is. But getting to where the mission is going to be difficult.
So if we set early goals for ourselves, the reward if we meet those goals is we won't have to have a meeting that month.
What staff is indicating or estimating, maybe it's a better word, that in order to get this done, the number of meetings that you would need to have, and they've collapsed that into a schedule that would require you to meet monthly.
So we don't get to reward ourselves if we work faster.
But the question is, are we willing and able to commit to that for a year and a half? And if not, then we probably ought to extend the schedule to indicate whatever the interval is that you're comfortable with.
Yeah, and my concern is how often we can't get a quorum for these meetings. That's a real concern. So I think it's easier for us because we're a more tightly knit, regular meeting kind of group than for them. So we'll have to kind of put that on them to make sure we can make the meetings.
And Mr. Hendricks, do you see some of this being able to be done in subcommittee or not?
Well, when you're talking about trying to arrive at a consensus with the district, you really need the district board there. And that you know, sort of by inference means that the city council's got to be in session too, because they're basically a joint meeting. So it's going to be labor intensive, but that's, I think, the way you're going to have to ultimately approach it. There are some things we can develop to a certain extent for decision.
For doing that.
But see, and I would go with an every other Monday or a Monday since we're always scheduled out.
The problem with that is then we're against our own planning commission meetings as far as AGP coverage.
Do these have to be public meetings?
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Ma'am.
Yeah. And especially if we're talking about rate increases and stuff, I think they need to be televised so that people are aware of what's going on here. Yeah. In fact, we need to probably announce at a council meetings that, hey, we're talking about big bucks and an upgrade in our treatment plant, and people need to be aware of what's happening so that this doesn't catch them way down the line like, wait a minute, what?
Is there any way to have a day meeting?
No. Some of us work.
I do too. But I didn't know if we could do it like in the morning. You know, 7 to 9, 8 to 10.
I think we could just do, if you want to do Mondays, we could do the Mondays opposite the Planning Commission, and we can just tape these meetings and then play them. But nobody says they have to go live, because for the most part, we're not going to achieve major milestones during these meetings. And, you know, it's just going
planning
to keep the public that cares up to date. So if we run opposite the Planning Commission, then we just tape these meetings and do them live.
You need to keep in mind that for some of these issues, you're going to need lawyers, and for others, you're going to need engineers, and others, you'll need redheaded guys in here to help discuss it. But depending on what phase you're in, you're going to need to assemble a proper staff too. And I don't know whether opposite Planning Commission would work all the time for that. It would work sometimes.
Yeah, what about you, Bruce?
Well, for the next several months, I'm going to be handling the Planning Commission for a while. So.
And but certainly in terms of time, you know, to have it during their work day would be a little easier on them.
I think your idea to check with Cayucas is good and see what works with them, like you indicated, that may be.
Well, I was looking to see if we had a time that was mutually agreeable to us that we could present to them.
Why don't we give them some options, like Tuesday and Wednesday, and see if they're even close. And, you know, night works better for me, but if they have to be in the middle of the day, then we can talk about that. But
Bruce?
Well, you know, we have tried to push the JPA meetings up to 6 o'clock, and we've never been successful getting it from 7 o'clock to 6 o'clock. There's been the issue of people working and not being available till 7 o'clock. So I don't, from the sanitary district's perspective. So you can throw it out, but I don't know. I like the idea of day meetings personally, but I don't, you know, we'll make, from my standpoint, I'll be available whenever. You know, I mean, that's part of my job. And so if it's day, if it's night, whatever. From staff standpoint, you know, we can do it. I think the district may have other issues, but I like the idea of a couple ideas.
And I know that until December or through the end of this year, I'll have afternoons free. I'll be done by about 1 o'clock every day.
Okay. Well, what do we want to try? Do we want to have a day and an evening schedule both that we would suggest that would be okay for us?
Why don't we throw, as I say, suggest Tuesdays and Wednesdays and say, pick a time if either of those days are good for you and see what they say.
The history, of course, though.
Okay, so Tuesdays I'm going to, and then we have to figure out which Tuesday, too. First Tuesday, second Tuesday, whatever. Because I have, second Tuesdays, I do have an obligation with a bird festival.
First, third, or fourth.
So.
Do you work 5 days a week?
Yes.
Do you work Fridays?
Yes. Also work Sundays sometimes.
All right, so how about we try Wednesdays? Either afternoon or evening? Okay.
That's really hard for me if it's the first Wednesday because of the SLOCOG meetings and my RAC meetings.
All right, so let's go for second or third Wednesdays.
You know, I really can't do the same day 2 weeks in a row. So if I'm doing SLOCOG on a Wednesday, I need to do it on a Tuesday another week. Remember, I have obligations to students.
Talking once a month, though, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're only talking one Wednesday a month.
I understand.
Oh.
But that's two Wednesdays for me that I'm not tutoring. And so that's hitting the same kids twice.
Okay.
Or something like that. But you know what? We're getting ready for summer. Maybe we can do a summer schedule and then look at it again in the fall. How about that?
All right. So is Wednesday good for the summer?
It will be after graduation.
The third Wednesday of the month is PWAB. Just put that out for when PWAB meets.
And my summer freedom for meetings with you all will start July 1.
So how about if we aim for the second Wednesday? Does that sound good?
Through the summer? Of July.
Okay. And they can even pick